Let me just go through this quickly and I'll show you what I mean. There was a lot of anti-evacuee propaganda. In other words, they didn't want them there. I'll find it in a minute, honest. They didn't want them there because there was nothing happening. There was nothing happening. It was what was called the phony war period. War was declared on the 3rd of September 1939, but nothing really happened until June 1940. We get the Battle of Britain, then we get the Blitz starting in September 1940. So we had all the evacuees saying, why are we here? We don't want to be here. And we got all the people, a lot of the people saying, why are you here? We don't want you here. And there was a tremendous drift home. By Christmas in 1939, 177,000 children had gone home. But they were blamed for all the ills that were taking place in some of the evacuated areas, to the point that these advertisements started appearing in newspapers, basically saying, if your evacuee is dirty, use bodyguard toilet soap. There's no mention of the children who lived in the village, so obviously they didn't get dirty. But of course they did. But it was the evacuees who were blamed for things. Now, I set my students a challenge that we can go into a record office in one of the reception areas of the Second World War and prove that some of the diseases that the evacuees were blamed for, ringworm, scarlet fever, head lice, body lice, diphtheria, impetigo, etc., etc., were already there. And in fact, some of the evacuees have told me that they didn't have any of these diseases before they moved into the countryside. They'd picked them up from the village children. So this disease thing was very much an anti-evacuee propaganda situation. And a lot of evacuees now in their late 60s and 70s still get very upset by reading textbooks or seeing things on the television which refer to dirty evacuees. The fact that some of them didn't know what a knife and fork was. The fact that some of them were supposed to have been sewn into their underwear for the whole of that winter. I've interviewed thousands and thousands of ex-evacuees, and I've never come across any examples of that. And you also get the impression that most of the children came from the poor areas of the cities. They didn't. A lot of these children who were evacuated came from middle-class areas of the cities. So it was just as much a culture shock for them to move from a nice house with all bathroom, etc., 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 to an agricultural labourer's house who had an earth floor, a tin bath in front of the fire on a Friday night, and an earth privy at the bottom of the garden with no internal sanitation whatsoever. So it was a culture shock for all these children. And it was also a shock for those people who were taking them in. All of a sudden, they're now having to look after these strangers' children that they have never met before. And in some cases, of course, the language was different. I've mentioned the Finnish-Swedish situation, but there was a situation here as well where you had children who were moved to West and North Wales who were Welsh-speaking. And these children had to learn Welsh in order to communicate with their hosts. And in fact, two boys from Liverpool won the poetry speaking competition, Welsh poetry competition, in their age group at the National Eisteddfod in 1942. So some of them became very proficient in actually learning the language. But of course, when they went home, unlike the Finns, who could go home and had no language at all, at least in this country, the children could go home and they could drift very quickly back into English, albeit with a Welsh accent. But there have been real serious problems since the war. Some of these evacuees that I now work with cannot do simple things like say goodbye. If their family come for Sunday lunch, they will make every effort not to be there to say goodbye. They will lock themselves in the bathroom or go go down to the bottom of the garden or whatever, but they cannot do it. Some people, one guy I knew who was head of a big multinational corporation in this country, could not pack a suitcase. He physically could not bring himself to pack a suitcase. One woman I interviewed knew she had a problem, and when her own daughter was at primary school age in the 1950s, had to get herself locked into a cupboard if her child was going on a school journey, because she knew that if she was allowed to, she would drag her child off the coach. She knew she had a problem, and that was the only way she could deal with it. But it's one interesting thing to remember. With the work I'm now doing internationally, is that if you take away the culture, if you take away the language, and you think of these children purely as children, then the trauma that was affecting British evacuees is almost the same as though long-term effects of German war children and Finnish war children. And it is only now that work is being done on this field.